Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. He's traveling. He's in the region. And we ask Sinan Chidi to help us understand Turkey, the centerpiece of the Ottoman Empire, the centerpiece of Asia Minor. But now Turkey in the 21st century and F-16s. The debate is, will they or won't they satisfy the terms of F-16s being deployed into Turkey? I'm talking about the U.S. Congress. And at the same time, as a substitute for the F-35s that are not being deployed into Turkey, a member of NATO. Sinan, I stop encapsulating because the story has many twists. The story of the F-16s, is this a big news item in Istanbul and Ankara? Does this burn people? Good evening to you.
Hi, good evening. It's a lingering issue that's been around for the last few months, simply because, as you correctly suggest, Turkey was booted out of the F-35 shortly after its acquisition of Russian missiles back in 2019. And it was a contributor country to the consortium of countries that made the F-35. So its loss is quite huge for Turkey, simply because it needs to modernize its air force. But also, it's a fifth-generation fighter, and Turkey would have been quite set apart from other countries in the region, particularly adversary countries, had it been able to acquire it. Now, falling short of being able to acquire the F-35, Turkey's now on the market for trying to secure the most modern, most up-to-date version of the F-16, because its current batch of F-16s dates back to the late 80s, early 90s, and they are increasingly becoming problematic and in terms of being able to carry out their missions. So Turkey very much needs this. So it's a big issue, and it's a problem.
Turkey is moving ahead towards elections this spring, and there is a changing political landscape, to be certain, and not a very positive direction, I think most would opine. What do you see Erdogan's wave of public spending impacting the election? Will it in any way diminish the economic hardship that so many people seem to be experiencing in Turkey and affect the election outcome?
Thank you, Michael. That's a good question. Short answer, no. I don't think it's going to sort of bring any sort of relief, because what is being done right now in terms of monetary policy is basically a sugar high, you know, pumping the Turkish economy full of money to the tune of about 200 to 300 billion Turkish lira, raising pensions, raising minimum wage, lots of incentives, cheaper credit, lower interest rates. So to keep the economy sort of humming as much as possible, despite sort of, really ratcheting up consumer and wholesale price inflation. So the country is in dire economic straits. And what the government's calculation is basically, we don't care until we need this sugar high in terms of a buoyant economy where people feel a bit of palliative relief until the election. So it gives voters a cause to at least vote for Erdogan, because he might be seen to do right by the citizens in terms of, you know, increases in wages and minimum and pensions. But once the election happens, which is thought to be on May 14, the reality, regardless of who's in power after that date, will come home to bite. I mean, Turkey will have to find a way to essentially stabilize the economy. And that doesn't look like it's a government priority. But if the opposition should win and take over the reins of government, then again, it's right on their doorstep, and there's likely to be a lot of calamity and economic misery on the average citizen, simply because they'll have to rein back these sort of loose monetary policies.
I'm recovering your lessons, Professor. The mayor of Istanbul is a major figure for the presidential contest. So is the leader, the longtime leader of the Kurdish party, or the party I identify with the Kurds, but I don't recover their names. Please introduce them.
So the leader of the candidate which is thought to be the best chance that the opposition has to win against Erdogan is the mayor of Istanbul, obviously, whose name is Ekrem İmamoğlu. And he's a representative of the main opposition Republican People's Party, or for your listeners, the party of Ataturk, the founding party of the country. And the Kurdish party essentially is the People's Democracy Party, which goes by the acronym of HDP. And it's most of its leadership is in prison. And there is actually the prospect that that party is shut down, the HDP, just prior to the election. There's a case pending against it in Turkey's constitutional court. So there's a lot of moving parts in the realm of the opposition.
Malcolm,
we have Erdogan looking at the borders of his country, seems to be looking at Turkey, at Syrian situation, the Kurds again, often looking for diversions when there are internal problems, and especially as they head to an election. Do you think the conflict between the heating up of the border, let's say between Azerbaijan and Armenia, does that impact Turkey's position? Does he again have to take an upfront role? Do you think that he will be more aggressive in terms of consolidating his position in Syria?
So there are a lot of moving parts, again, in the realm of foreign policy for the Erdogan government, right? And I think right now, every part of that foreign policy portfolio is dedicated not towards any meaningful long-term strategic policy or outlook for the country, but again, to service his need for re-election. So in the Syria portfolio, he's trying to essentially sort of put out to his voters suggesting, look, we will send refugees back. We will essentially ensure our border security vis-a-vis the Kurds. And the way he seems to be going about doing that is essentially making, you know, mending ties with the Assad regime, which is quite a U-turn based on Turkey's past sort of outlook towards Syria. But again, that outlook is essentially to service his image to voters as a strong and decisive leader that takes, you know, gets potentially rid of the problem that citizens perceive to be a refugee issue that's putting pressure on their finances and the stability of the country. So Erdogan's giving himself a chance to look strong by saying, we'll solve that problem, as well as, you know, make sure that the Kurds in Syria don't, quote unquote, you know, present a security threat going forward. So that's, again, a domestic political issue for him. I don't think it's intended to essentially actually address the problem in any significant manner. On the other hand, you know, any other sort of border, you know, the Azeri-Armenian conflict, which is always sort of simmering below tensions, you know, Turkey has historically very much supported and provided strong military as well as diplomatic support to the Azerbaijan government, because of its affinity towards the Azeris, but also its ambivalence towards Armenia historically. And so the Turks have essentially provided the Azeris quite a lot of capabilities. Actually, the types of drones that they're also selling to the Ukrainians, these were essentially first tested in the battlefields in the, between Armenia and Azerbaijan in the contested region of Nagorno-Karabakh. And those the drones decimated Russian armor. So the Turks, I think, would continue to support the Azeris in this if the conflict essentially became inflamed once again.
NATO, is there any suggestion that there are going to be continuing negotiations that come to a resolution about Sweden's entry? Or have the negotiations broken off? I've followed this for the last several days, but I haven't seen an update.
So short answer is no. I don't think it's moving towards resolution anytime soon. So this week, President Erdogan sort of suggested and hinted at NATO, saying that Turkey might be willing to decouple the accession process of the two Scandinavian countries and approve Finnish membership, but still keep Sweden's membership accession on hold. This was an attempt to sort of demonstrate to the international community, but mainly NATO, saying, look, we're not just a curmudgeon for the sake of just blocking accession. We're going to let Finland in because I think they've made good strides in what we were asking, but, you know, Sweden's still got issues. So that was intended to give the image that they were willing to move the ball on this. But this was shot down quite surprisingly by the Finns. Finland basically said thanks, but no thanks. We're in it either together or nothing at all. We're going to stand in solidarity with our Swedish partners here, and we would, you know, we're not going to just, you know, be a diplomatic sort of pawn in this game. So that issue has been put on the background. So I think we're still at least until the election in Turkey. I think the NATO accession process is going to be on ice.
That's helpful. Nothing moving till springtime, till after the election. Sinan Chidi is a non-resident senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.